The very first graduation or baccalaureate mass I celebrated at Notre Dame Prep at the end of the spring 2018 semester, I shared the following with the graduating seniors, but I don't think I've shared it to the Our Lady of Joy community. And I told them a couple of weeks before the end of the school year, I was walking around campus with Father Matt Lowry, the chaplain at Northern Arizona University, who was visiting that day. And so suddenly a group of students, and so after they were done, another group of students came up and said, "Father Kirk, can we take a picture with you too?" And as we continued, one other student came up and said, "Father Kirk, can I have a selfie with you?" And so when we were done, I looked at Father Matt and he gave me kind of like a bewildered look, like, "What is happening?" And I kind of shrugged my shoulders and I said, "What? Doesn't everybody get want to take a picture with you too?" This is how I'm treated at Notre Dame Prep every single day. And so later the truth came out that it was actually part of a theology project where the students had to take a picture with someone ordained, but you know, the details. And then last week, I was down at Steubenville, San Diego, and some of the kids are who went on that trip are over here. So I'm going to embarrass you guys and have you just stand up. Anybody who went to Steubenville, San Diego, please stand up right now. Yeah, let's. I know some of you also helped support them. Thank you. On there, and we had an amazing trip, and on that trip, too, others like stopped me and said, "Father Kurt, we heard about, are you Father Kurt?" And I said, "Yes," and they said, "Oh, you're the rapping priest, right? We've seen your music video," and I was like, "Okay, that's cool," but then, as I was thinking about this, right, these two incidences recall something that made, because when I was younger, I wanted to be a Malaysian child TV star, and so you see, my 5-minute brush of fame, more like 30 seconds, actually occurred when I was a little kid in Malaysia, accompanying one of my cousins to an audition for a TV commercial. And so after she came out of the audition, the director saw this little 5-year-old little Kurt and said, "Why don't you come back in?" and asked me to smile into the camera, say a few words. And the next thing I know, I get a call. My cousin picks up the phone, and unfortunately, she didn't get it. But I got the gig. And now I was doing a Fab soap commercial for Malaysia. And there was a big billboard on the street right before church. And I remember my family getting so excited when the commercial came on TV with me dancing and singing the Fab jingle, which I still know today. Tidak boleh, tidak boleh, tidak boleh, Fab ole, 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 which translates to Fab is the best, Fab is the best. You know, go Fab sort of thing, you know? Very original. But the reason why I tell you this, right, thinking that making it on TV, being famous, making lots of money, being an actor was the highest goal of my life. That in addition to being on TV, I would have the money, the fame, everything that embodied success. I wanted the accolades. I wanted to see my face on that billboard. Do that KFC commercial that they asked me to do right after. But couldn't because my dad and my family were moving over here. But I also did not understand then the true meaning of being successful and great. Today's readings, therefore, are a sobering reminder of the emptiness of the sole pursuit of earthly things for their own sake. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity, says the author of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon. Here was a man who had everything. He had wealth. He had power, he had intelligence. But by the end of his life, even King Solomon realized that life, which only consisted of chasing after worldly pursuits, was overall futile. His book ends with the simple truth: apart from God, all is vanity, all is empty. Now, this is not to say that the things in this world are bad, but if we place these things before God, or make them our God with a little g, rather than the one who loves us, we will never be satisfied. And sometimes these things that we seek do give us happiness for a time, but they won't last. They could be a search for fame, money, respect from others, popularity. It could even be tangible things like certain relationships, like, "Oh man, if only I date her, I'll be happy. If only I date him. It could be things like, man, or it could be like the houses we live in, the clothes we wear. All these things might make us feel good. If not, we wouldn't be attracted to them in the first place. But if they are not in conformity to God's will first, it will always leave a hole in our hearts. So that's why Jesus in today's gospel does not condemn riches, money, or possessions, which are not bad in and of themselves. But he talks against greed. Greed is the insatiable desire to keep having more and more beyond what is reasonable or necessary. It is a desire that is never satisfied with what we already have. This greed changes the heart of the rich man in today's parable because he doesn't realize that everything that he has been given is in fact a gift. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that the rich man himself produced this bountiful harvest, but that the land produced the harvest. The rich man forgets that everything he has is a gift from the generosity of God, and greed blinded this man to give generously to others as well, such that when he tore the harvest, his first thought isn't, man, who can I share this with? With my family members, the poor or less fortunate? But instead, his thoughts are turned inward. How can I build something bigger to keep this all to myself? Lastly, this desire to keep the harvest to himself blinds him from seeing that no matter how we try to be self-sufficient and provide for ourselves, God is ultimately the giver of life. And we never know when we may be called back to him. You fool, God says, this very night your life will be demanded of you, and all the things you have prepared for, to whom will they belong? Instead, through this parable, Jesus reminds us to be rich in what matters to God. To value God, to be rich in matters in what matters to him, means that we value love, we value mercy, we value justice and truth, and ultimately follow his will. And when I was a little boy, in being an altar server, my former pastor used to say, you never see a U-Haul truck following a hearse at a funeral, right? But once we are rich in what matters to God, values of know what to do with whatever worldly goods that we may obtain and so glorify God. And we may think, Father, this doesn't really happen today. Wrong. 10 months ago, a figure well-renowned figure skater, Princess Alexandra of Hanover, made news because she was removed from the British line of succession. Why? Simply because she converted to Catholicism. She was a Lutheran before, but when interviewed, she said that it was the quiet draw of seeing her mother's faith and the beauty of the Eucharist which moved her heart and led her to conversion. And in doing so, she didn't see it so much as giving up the riches, the honor, and title associated with the British crown, but more so following her heart to experience the peace, goodness, and joy of following God's will. Cardinal George, right before he died, said, "The only things you take with you in your life to come are the things you have given away on earth." In other words, we won't lose anything of what truly matters. We will have the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm, nothing other than the love which we have cultivated here below. A love for God and a love for others. A love which lasts and far surpasses anything on this earth.